Oh boy. Well, Brenda gave you a prelude of what I'm going to talk about this morning. Let me just say a quick prayer. And so, Father, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will lead me and guide me and help me to say whatever it is that is on the Father's heart to say this morning. Holy Spirit, would you do what you do best and draw all men to the Father this morning. And Father, we just thank you that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit that you will accomplish these things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 No. This might be a singing kind of morning. You want to be my organ player? No, I'm joking. So we're carrying on our series on carrying stuff. Oh, that was funny. We're carrying on our... Okay. And what I wanted to... before I get to... Oh, I guess it's already up there. There's my title. We're going to do part four, and I chose to call it, There's a Message in Your Mess. There's a message in your mess. And how many of us know that you can take two different people, and they'll have two different responses to kind of your situation? For example, you can take a nurse, take two nurses that attend to you in the hospital, and one can be very abrasive, very, you know, not so nice. and then you can have another nurse that comes into the room, and she's very compassionate, very loving, very, just very, you know, sensitive towards what's going on in your life. And I believe the difference is sometimes is that they understand your situation because, one, either somebody that they love has been through it or they've been through it themselves. Are you with me? You with me? And could it be that God wants to use your stuff to be a blessing in someone else's life? Could it be that your mess, that somebody else in the world relies on the mess that you're in so that they can get out of the mess that they're in? I'll say amen to that one too. It's okay, you can holler and scream and do whatever you want. Yeah, you can even hashtag me, that's fine. Could it be that your agony incorporates the place of your destiny? Are you with me? You guys are really quiet. Could it be that your agony incorporates the place of your destiny? That the stuff that you're going through is actually determines your destiny? That God wants to use the very thing you're carrying that's giving you the hardest struggle in order to bring freedom in someone else's life. In Romans 8:28, if you're there or turning there or would like to turn there, it says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to our purpose, to His purpose." I'll read that again. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together. All things, everything, every situation, every circumstance works together for good. For those who are called according according to His purpose. If I have a cup of coffee and I drink a cup of coffee and I say, man, that was a great cup of coffee. Is it because the coffee was great? Or is it because of the type of beans that was used? Is it the type of filter that was used? Is it the barista at Starbucks that makes my coffee? Or is it my wife that makes my coffee? No. What makes a good cup of coffee? Or is it because when you incorporate all those things together, that's what makes a good cup of coffee? So all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purposes. Amen? And so, this thing keeps just scrolling down on me. Sorry. So one thing we have to understand is that our lives and the stuff that we go, that is in our lives is messy. Right? We are all messy people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're messed up. Some of you said that like you really meant it. It's messy. But you know what? Mess is an opportunity for God to be glorified in our lives. And we see that throughout the whole entire Bible. We see the most messed up people that ever walked the face of this earth. I'm included if I was in the Bible. And then God just so happens to get a hold of people in their mess. And He is glorified in their midst. But there's two things we need to understand is that one, you have to be willing. And then two, you have to be transparent. We need to be transparent before God. Because how many of us know that God knows everything? And so if He knows everything, why do we try to hide stuff that we're carrying from Him? It's the weirdest thing to me. Why do we care? Why? Like if He doesn't know what's going on in your life. Intimacy before God. Intimacy. That's what we need with God. Actually, when I was preparing for what I was going to talk about today, it was either between, I had another sermon in my head called Cellophane. Maybe I'll do that one day. But you see, when we carry our own stuff, guess what we tell God? We don't trust You. Because we think we could do it on our own. Men, I could do it on my own. I can't fix a house on my own, just to let you guys know that. I need some help. But that amen was a little too loud, sister. Matthew 11:28 says this, come to Me all who labor and weary and heavy laden. And He'll do what? Man, you guys are good. And I will give you rest. Our successes are made out of the ingredients of our struggles. Hashtag. No, that's a long hashtag. Don't do that. But our successes are made out of the ingredients of our struggles. My struggles. And I know this whole thing about me winning President's Club and da 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 da. It's a great honor, wonderful honor. But a lot of people wouldn't know the struggles over 7 years that I had to go through to accomplish that. A lot of you see me up here, you see Mark, the other elders, whoever comes up here, and you see, yes, the man of God or whoever you want to call us come up here and we proclaim God's word. But you don't see the struggles that it took to get to that point. You don't see the heartache that it took to get to that point. You don't see the pain and the hurt and the stuff that it took to get to that point. Because we all want to be successful and we all want to have this get rich mentality. But how many of us know that there are messy moments on the way to your destiny? There's messy moments. But here's the other thing that blows my mind. Is how can everything in the natural be good? All these successes happening in my life. But yet still my spirit man, God is challenging. Can I be transparent with you this morning? In all the successes that I have, and once again, what an honor. God challenged me 3 weeks ago to this wonderful, simple question. My son, do you really love people? Ah, yes, God, of course I do. Okay. Didn't even give me a follow-up. And can I tell you, the last 3 weeks have been the most hardest weeks, draining weeks, emotional weeks that I've gone through in quite a while. Because in the midst of all the successes, the success that God wants is in here. And that is what He's after. And so, yes, I find people very challenging this time in my life. But you know what? I choose to look at God because there's a purpose behind it. Amen? I mean, I even shared that with the youth too. And yeah, they were very loving and compassionate towards me. And no. And see, the reason why God wants or needs us to confront our stuff is after the stuff, or that He's after the stuff in our lives, is because the stuff actually stalls our calling. It's like having a car, and something happens with the car. It stalls. It doesn't mean that the car is broken or that it can't drive again. There just needs to be some work to be done. There needs to be an inspection under the hood. So stop stalling the calling. Stop stalling the calling in your life. See, God chose you because of who He is and because of who you are not. Amen. And His ultimate goal is to make you like Him. He will not relent until He has accomplished this in your life. Because you see, in the midst of all the stuff that we pick up along the way, all the mess, all the junk in the trunk. Hey, junk in the trunk. Okay. All that stuff that you pick up along the way. And we think we're so messed up. Like Brenda said this morning. We think we're failures. We think we can't accomplish much to anything. The wonderful, magnificent, awesome thing about our God is because you're so messed up, He'll still use you. Man, I'm so messed up, but man, God will use me. God will use me. God will use you. So don't believe the lie that even though my life is messy, I can't be used of God. Just because I'm carrying stuff, I have a lot of stuff in my life, doesn't mean that God will not use you. And you see, sometimes the thing is that we, because of the mess, we don't like to draw close to people. And sometimes because of the mess, that we see in other people's lives, we're like, I don't want to get to know that person. Am I the only one? We say, man, that person is so messed up. I don't want to even get to know that person because they got some issues. They got some issues. But guess what? I got some issues too. So guess what? Don't let the mess fool you. Don't let the mess fool you. Because you know what? Stuff, yeah, may be going on in here. But guess what? Stuff is going on in here with all of us. Right? Right? It's okay if you don't want to admit it. That's okay. God knows. And I'll just leave that to Him. And so your mess has, in my opinion, three aspects. Your mess has a history. Your mess has a journey. And your mess has a message. And that's what God wants to do, is use your mess as a message. And so, in our history, this is one thing we have to understand about our history, is when you hold on to your history, it's at the expense of your destiny. Because all the stuff that we have in our lives all has an origin, whether it's good or bad. It was rooted somewhere. We have good stuff in our lives and we have horrible stuff in our lives that we picked up along the way. But they all have somewhere it took root in. And the thing is that what we have to be careful of is that we don't let the mess of our past determine our destiny. But guess what? It will determine your destiny if you don't deal with it. If you don't deal with it. And so we ask ourselves, how did I become this person? You look over your lives and you're... You ever get to that point where you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired of where you're at? And you do this self-evaluation? Why am I the way that I am? Why are stuff going the way it's going on? And what happens is then we've allowed the stuff of our past to distort our future. Because you see, when we watch the movies and we read the books, we hear what the preachers say, we even talk to our friends, and guess what? It doesn't have that happy ending that you thought it was going to have, like in the fairy tales. Right? Nobody is singing, you know, because I'm happy. Right? Nobody's singing that. Let it go, yeah. See, we expected our lives to be a certain way. But now we're disappointed because I'm not experienced the happy ever after right now. For Trisha and I, we didn't have that honeymoon kind of, oh, so in love and everything in the first year of our marriage. I went into the marriage with mess. She went into the marriage with mess. And it was just a messed up marriage. Because we both had issues. And we didn't deal with the issues before we got married. And so what it did is it didn't take a year. It didn't take 2 years. It didn't take 3 years. But it took a few more years after that. Because we thought we would just have the happy ever after. But guess what? There's no such thing as happy ever after until we probably get to heaven. If you turn with me in Luke. Are you still with me? Okay, good. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 5. verse 1 to 11. When you're there, say, uh-huh. Oh, wow, more people than I expected, because I'm not even there yet. Starting at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And they followed him. And so we see that this is where Jesus sees these fishermen, Simon Peter being one of them, fishing, and they're having some struggles. Simon Peter, he's frustrated by now. He's annoyed by now. And part of me thinks this wasn't a one-off. Part of me thinks that Jesus was walking by maybe consistently for a number of days and saw these fishermen were always having struggles to catch fish. And so, Jesus gets them at a time of disappointment and of frustration in the midst of their mess. And so they've been carrying this weight of disappointment with their nets not being able to catch any fish. And then Jesus steps on the scene and says, Boys, I see the struggles that you're going through. You know what? Cast your net on the other side. It's going to work out for you. And so they do that. They throw the net on the other side. And then what does Jesus say? Okay, now that you've done that, guess what? I have another business proposition for you. I want you to come with me because now I'm actually going to make you fishers of men. And so they left their nets. They left the frustrations. They left the disappointments. They left the despair. They left their worries. They left their anxieties. They left their nets. I thought it was so interesting that they would leave their nets. Why wouldn't they just carry the nets with them? Or why wouldn't they tell the rest of the guys, hey, can you look after my nets? I'll be back for them later. But they left their nets. And I think for some of us this morning, you need to leave your nets behind. Let go of the stuff. Let go of the stuff. And we have to understand that this Peter, this was the start of... You ever notice that Peter was just in the midst of everything? Is it only me? Peter was just in the midst of everything. Every conversation. I mean, Peter was the guy that got to walk on the water. Peter was the guy that got to see Jesus' transformation on the Mount. when he was glorified. I mean, Peter was the one that was always in the debates. In my opinion, Peter would be like the guy in, you know, when you have a group of people, there's always like, you have like, well, with the guys, you have like the pretty boy, or you have like the guy that talks a lot, or the guy that thinks, you know, he's the best basketball player of all time, or the guy that thinks, or you had the fighter, you know, that he'll just jump in and fight everybody's battle. I think Peter would be that guy, that he just jumps in. Hey, you're messing with my boy here. I'm going to jump in. And I think that's Peter. He was like the wild child of the disciples. Didn't even think, just didn't think before he spoke. Didn't think before he did any actions. He just did stuff. But then Peter was the guy that said, man, you are the Christ. As much as Peter was so messed up, what he did was, isn't it interesting that Peter was the guy that preached the first gospel message that saw 5,000 people get saved? Isn't it interesting that Peter was used by God, as much as messed up that the dude was? Peter, God chose Peter. God called Peter. God used Peter in the midst of his mess. And so what that tells me is, if Jesus can use Peter, if he can use a Moses, if he can use a David, if he can use a Joseph, if he can use a Jacob, if he can use a Solomon, if he can use a Rahab, then guess what? He can use me. And then one thing about Rahab, if you don't know Rahab, Rahab was a prostitute. But isn't it interesting that Rahab, because of what she did to help Joshua and his men, isn't it interesting that she was part of Jesus' lineage? A prostitute part of Jesus' lineage? Yes. If he can use Rahab, he can use you. He can use me. And so we can't let the history of our stuff cripple us and prevent us from fulfilling the calling that God has for us. Getting rid of our stuff is a journey. The journey is sometimes long, sometimes short, sometimes hard, sometimes challenging. But there is a purpose in the journey. Time's getting away from me, but in Luke 22, verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Sifting. How many of us like to be sifted? How many of us know what sifting requires? When you pull a piece of wheat, you have to sift the wheat to separate the chaff from the wheat. So how many of us know it's a messy process? Sifting is a messy process. But you know what? Mess is good sometimes. Mess is good. I know for some of us, we may not like mess. We may not like confrontations. We may not like those whole things. But guess what? It's good sometimes. At least I believe mess is good sometimes. Sorry, this iPad thing. My goodness. But isn't it interesting that Jesus prays for Peter? And isn't it interesting of what he prays? He goes, I pray for you that what? Your faith may not fail. That your faith may not fail. I don't understand that. Notice Jesus didn't pray for the sifting, that the sifting wouldn't happen. Notice that Jesus didn't pray that the devil wouldn't access you. Notice that Jesus didn't pray that you wouldn't be hurt. Notice that Jesus didn't pray that you wouldn't cry. But Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. I don't understand. Why wouldn't Jesus just take away the sifting? Because the sifting is the most important part of the process. And for some of us that we've carried stuff for the longest time, I mean, we have to understand that nobody escapes the sifting. Rich folk go through it. Poor folk go through it. We all go through it. Nobody is exempt from the sifting. Because what he wants to do is change the story of your journey. The same way how he changed Saul's story on his journey. I mean, the dude killed Christians. Messed up. But God used Saul that became Paul to launch his church. And the apostolic adventures that he went through. So right now you can turn to your neighbor and say, you're heading on a detour. See, there's not an arrow pointing over you from heaven with these big Vegas blinkers. You know? There's not an arrow over you with these big Vegas blinkers. In other words, you're not the only one going through it. You're not the only one. At the end of the day, guess what? These bricks are still broken. These windows are still shattered. My supporting beams are still out of place. Isn't it interesting that I would use this analogy? And I know nothing about construction. I just thought you guys would get a kick out of that. It doesn't matter. We all go through it, but guess what? The details will be different. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop running from the mess. Because here, listen to this. You will become a much better physician when you've become a patient. You'll become a much better physician when you become a patient. And also know this, that nothing that you've been through will be wasted. Nothing that you've been through will be wasted. Yeah, but you don't know the stuff I went. Nothing that you've been through will be wasted. And why would I say that? Is because the mess that you've been through, are going through, currently going through, there's a message in your mess. And in Luke 22:31, in verse 32, after Jesus says or prays that Peter's faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And just for Chris, I did it in the King James because I kind of like how the King James says it. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted," love that word, "strengthen thy brethren." When thou art converted, 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 converted. I think we know what that word converted is. Before we knew God, we were converted to God. For some of us, the reason why you're going through the stuff, and this is where I'm heading, is that you need to use, that God will use the mess to strengthen other messy people. So it's not like you're not going through it for no reason. The mess that you're going through, when thou art converted, when you've gone through it, when you're going through it, strengthen thy brethren. Take the mess that you're going through right now. Let's stop having the pity party for ourselves and asking God why. And take that and strengthen your brothers. Strengthen the people you work with. Strengthen the family members that maybe you're having some stuff with. Use the stuff to strengthen your brothers and sisters. Because the stuff, and I think you're getting it, is the stuff is more or less about you. And one, more about your purpose, your destiny, but more importantly, the people on the other side of your mess. Because when you let the mess, when you get rid of the mess, then guess what? Your praise changes, your relationship changes, the way you see yourself changes. Because you chose to let go and let God do what He needs to do in your life. And so we have to understand that Jesus died for your stuff. Didn't Jesus die for your stuff? So guess what? It doesn't belong to you. And so guess what? You need to give it back to Him. Give Him back His stuff. You ever love when people say, "I want my stuff back"? And you either hold on to that stuff or you say, "Hey, take your stuff back." Which one are we going to be? The guy that says, "No, I'm not giving you your stuff. I'm not giving you your stuff. Why do you deserve that? Or will it be like, "Man, shoot, I don't need any of this. Here you go." I'm going to close with this. I remember when I was younger. Not that I'm old now, but when I was growing up with my mother, and maybe a lot of us can relate to this, and Billy Graham would come into town, and man, oh man, I did not like going to the Billy Graham Crusades. But my mother, bless her heart, she would take me to the Billy Graham Crusades. And I would have to sit through, it felt like hours. I don't even know how long a crusade is, but it felt like hours. And of course, at the end of it all, Billy Graham almost always had his famous, "Just as I am." And the choir would sing, and people would come and storm the front, give their hearts to Jesus. Of course, at that time, you know, I'm like, what in the world is going on? But when I was meditating on this, don't ask me why, but I just felt to go to that song and actually see the lyrics. Because to be honest, I've never actually looked at the lyrics. And I'll just read the first verse. It says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." Sorry, I just feel to read the other one. "Just as I am, and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We came to know Jesus because most of us heard about this Savior that loved the world so much, went through a horrifying death on a cross, who bled and died, who rose in 3 days, and because of this, He can take all my mess and wash me white as snow and make me a new creation. The same way we accepted Jesus in our hearts is the same way we should approach Him with our stuff. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. A lot of us are carrying stuff. I know it's painful. I know it hurts. I know you don't understand. But there's two options. We either keep carrying the stuff that we're going through, or we say, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. There's nothing, there's no difference in the way you came to Christ and the way we still approach Christ now. That exact same thing. And so if you're here and you're going through stuff, I get it. But most of all, God gets it. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, you have this history, you've been on this journey, there's actually a message of a risen Savior that is reaching His hand out for you this morning, saying, come, come, come. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we carry stuff. We acknowledge that the stuff that we carry doesn't belong to us. And Father, whether it's hurt, the pain, the worry, the anxiety, the rejection, the abuse, Father, whatever it is, Father, we acknowledge that your blood is enough. We acknowledge that your cross was enough. And Father, today we decide to give those things back to you. Father, we don't want to carry it anymore. Father, we don't want this thing to weigh us down anymore. And so, Father, this morning we choose to give those things back to you. And Father, for those of us that don't know you this morning, Father, I pray that the revelation of your Son Jesus would echo into their hearts this morning. That, Father, they would acknowledge the mess of their history. Father, that we would acknowledge the mess that we're even going through now on this journey that we don't even know why we're on. And that, Father, this morning, we would accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. Father, our hearts are yours, our mind are yours, our stuff is yours. Holy Spirit, would you just come and have your way in our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen.